I want to talk to you about today about true spirituality. I think that in the world today, I believe the world today thinks spirituality is giving up things. I think that if the world, when they see someone being spiritual as someone who used to smoke, that doesn't now smoke, that's spiritual. You know, they would say it's things to do with the flesh. You were once a wife beater, you don't beat your wife anymore. You smoked, you now you don't smoke. That is because the God inside you quickened you and He made you able to whip up on that. That's promoted quite regularly and paraded as if good things happen when you do that. In fact, most churches teach that if you'll give up smoking or some sin in your life, God will hear your prayers better. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
That's right.
And they parade this as spirituality, and all I would have to tell you is it is of the flesh. And so I want to talk to you about true spirituality. And I believe it is as far away from the flesh as it can possibly be. But I want to start in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3 and verse 1. It said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. And if you think about that, it almost sounds like, well, see, these people over here have conquered the flesh. They don't want the cigarettes anymore and that kind of a thing. And that's why I chose to go to these verses first. But that's not what it's talking about at all. He says, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. Are you dead? Then what is a dead man going to do that's going to be impressive? You know what I know about dead men? They don't move a lot. Ain't a lot you can brag about. You can say, boy, that dead man really ran that 4-minute mile. Ain't anything about a dead man except he's dead. Folks, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for the which sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which you also walk sometimes when you lived in them. Well, sounds like they used to be one way and walked a different way, didn't they? Now watch. But now ye also put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that that you have put off the old man with his deed and have put on the new man. And there is a change, I believe, that happens. I believe in change. I believe there is a change. I believe the true spirituality is the first time you've ever become honest. I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. Go to Romans. People ask me what true spirituality, when have you reached the pinnacle of spirituality? When you can start to read some of these verses and not try to question them. Verse 13, Romans 7, 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin that I might appear sin worketh death in me by that which is good. They're talking about the law. That sin by the commandments might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. You know what? That's a very spiritual statement. Now, most people won't admit that they're sold under sin. Most people want to make the idea that, hey, look at me. I've cleaned up my life. I'm not the same person. I'm not the drunk you used to know. It takes a very spiritual person to say, you know what, I'm carnal, sold under sin. That's a hard statement, isn't it? What does the world tell us? We praise everything that is what? Good. Everything that, you know, and what does God say? That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You know, listen, folks, it's not the way it appears. A spiritual person, hold on to here, and let me give you an example of this. It's Luke. Hey, there are these two men, and one of them is very carnal, and the other one is very spiritual. And it's true today. You know, listen, let me tell you what. If you've got to blow your own horn, you probably ain't got it going on. You know, if you've got to say, hey, look, and if you can't laugh at yourself a little bit, you probably ain't got it. You know what? You're probably more full of yourself than you ought to be. The Bible says this. You ought not to think more highly of yourself than you ought. True spirituality, he said, the humble shall be brought up and the proud shall be brought low. And let me tell you this over here, this false spirituality, this thing that has to do with the flesh, this conquering of sin and whatever in our lives is nothing more than carnality. And in spirituality, it's carnality. It's just like these people. Verse 10. Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He didn't pray to God. He was, you know what, there are some people that, have you ever heard them pray? The prayers are going out. Y'all understand? It's just a bunch of hooey. That's not spirituality. Spirituality is when you can see yourself what you really are and what really happened with the grace of God. And that's hard for people to swallow. There's these two guys, this guy's praying with himself. He ain't even talking to God. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. He's talking about this person over here with false spirituality. That's this person right there. This is what, and you know what, if you'd have seen this person, you would have said, man, he's awesome. Every time the church door is open, he's there. He gives. You would have looked in and said, man, he is Joe Christian. Look, he says, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, are even as this publican. I mean, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You know what? Your money isn't anything to God. And the publican standing afar off would not even lift as much as his eyes into heaven and smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me. I can guarantee you, this man walked away justified, and he was spiritual. He was spiritual. Go back to Romans chapter 7 now. See, the problem is we have a false sense of what spirituality is. We think spirituality is when you walk a certain way or talk a certain way or act a certain way, and we're looking at the flesh for confirmation of your inward being. Well, that's as carnal as it is. Why? If one died for all, then we're all what? Dead. There's none good, no, not one. There's not a just person upon the earth that sinneth. Even David fell into that self-righteous attitude. Well, it's so easy to fall into, isn't it? Right, look at me, I'm not like other men. You know what most men are? They ain't no good. They'll tell you they're going to do one thing and then do another thing. That's how men are. We're all liars. Don't you hate that? That's the way it is. Now watch this. True spirituality. True spirituality. He says in verse 14 again, Romans 7, 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I what? For what I would, that do I not. You ever find your way when you say you're going to do something and you don't do it? And then you try to justify it? You know why? You ain't no good. That's that. You know, when you can finally look in the mirror and say, you know the problem with me is me? You know, it's always the problem is someone else in your life. I mean, it started out with Adam and Eve. Hey, God, the woman that thou gavest. I mean, isn't that the way man's been ever since? Well, I'd have gotten along if I didn't have children. I'd be okay if I didn't have this situation. You know, you're always blaming. You know what? Look in the mirror, folks. Look in the mirror and you just come clean with yourself. You know, listen, let me tell you, that's the problem with mankind now. We don't want to look in the mirror of the Word of God. That's why we get rid of the King James Bible and introduce the NIV, and that's why we're all going like this. Praise Him, praise. I mean, we're just all into this praise stuff. You know why? Because it doesn't cause us to really look at what we are before God. It's not hard to lift your hands and say that. You know what it is? It's hard to admit that you're carnal and sold under sin, even after you've been saved 23 years. You know what? They hate to know that their pastor isn't worth a poop. You know what? All my righteousness are nothing but filthy rags. Sorry. Want a better pastor? You might have an opportunity. Listen, folks, I'm not any good. I look in the mirror and I see my shortcomings, and the reality is if it hadn't been for Jesus and what He did on that cross, there'd been no help for me. I'm just promising you that. He says this, verse 15 again, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. You know what Paul hated? Sin. He found out, I hate sin, but he found out that's what he ran after all the time. You ever do that? You know, I bet you if we went into some of these computers, we'd find all kinds of pornography in your computer. I bet you if we looked inside your heart and just ripped it open, we'd be amazed at the evil thoughts that you had in there. Luke 7 lists 13 evil things that come out of a man's heart. You know what? You could do it to pastor here and open his heart, and it'd be the same filthy garbage that was there before. You know what? You know why people don't like the message of grace? It's an honest message. It'd be a lot easier to hide in a church that ain't you know, telling you how good you are and have fun around Santa Claus. And I don't even know what the Easter Bunny is all about. But anyway, So, we're talking about what is true spirituality. What is it when you finally, you know what, there is a absolute, I believe Paul was the most spiritual human on this planet. And you know what that included? That included telling the truth about himself. Not hiding behind some cloak or robe or, as he called it, eloquent speech. Watch this. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent on the law that it's good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but everybody read this with me, but sin that dwelleth in me. Well, that's a hard thing for a Christian, isn't it? Man, when you talk about that, because listen, over here in the false spirituality, what does the Christian have to do? He has to clean it up, doesn't he? And you know that he hadn't cleaned it up. You know he hadn't got those thoughts out. You know why? You're battling them yourself, aren't you? True spirituality is one that we've given out in the sense that these people over here want to control the flesh. They want to control that which they're doing. And there are certain things that you can flat out do and control. Amen? And there's some things you can't control. And then he says in verse 18, probably the most spiritual statement in the entire King James Bible is this. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Can you say that? Say that in me. That is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now here's the unique thing about true spirituality. For to will is present with me. Was God's will present with him? I mean, I know the will of God. I know the will of God. It's present with me. But here's the problem. But how to perform that which is good, I find a little bit. I find what? That concept is the most difficult concept for a believer to get to. I can tell you that Bobby had a problem with it. Was going to quit the church one night. Got frustrated. Preacher, are you telling me that you're not any good? Yep, that's what I'm telling you.
I tell you something else. Did you hear Paul say this?
Do what?
Did you hear Paul?
Oh, absolutely. Because you mean Paul. Yeah, he must have had it down, you know. Paul didn't have it down. I mean, he was claimed to be rude in speech. I mean, see, I think true spirituality is when you get over on this side and over here you look at yourself and you can be honest. Listen, I'm not trying to impress you with me. You know what? If you examine my life, in every corner there'll be some corners you might go, ooh, ah. And in the other, you'll go, ah! That's the way it is. And spirituality, the true spirituality is when you can look at yourself and be honest. How many here is an adulterer? Men? You wouldn't admit that at United Methodist Church. They'd throw you out. Isn't that true? I mean, go up there and say, I'm an adulterer. Or even better, go up and say, how many here is guilty of murder? Go up and say, I murdered. They go, ah! Worse than that, I did it on purpose. Ah! You understand? Well, that's what we are, aren't we? James 2 says, if you keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, you're guilty. So a spiritual man is a person that doesn't have to buffalo himself into getting into heaven. That's not what spirituality is all about. True spirituality has to do with the ability to you to see yourself through the eyes of grace. Now, let me go on down because I think this is great. Verse 18 again, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, what does he say?
I do not.
Let's try that again. For the good that I would, I what?
Do not.
But the evil which I would not. That's hard to say, isn't it? I mean, you can read it, but to really think it of yourself, that's hard to grasp. So what do I think true spirituality is? Is it in the controlling of the flesh? No, I think it's in the admitting of the flesh. Illustration. I think David is a man after God's own heart according to Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Okay? That's what the Bible says. The son of Jesse is a man after God's own heart. But I don't believe he became that person until he met Nathan on that road. And he said, well, hey, I got a story for you, King. What would we do? There's this guy had one wee little lamb and another one had a whole flock. And this one that had the whole flock took the one with the one wee little lamb and took him and then killed the guy. What should that man do that took that wee little lamb? And David said, he shall surely die. And Nathan looked at him right in the eye and said, thou art the man. And I believe that was the moment when God taught David about spirituality. I believe that moment, that defining moment in his life is what taught him. I believe David realized. Up to then, I think David probably had a little high attitude of himself. I can see him out there fighting Goliath. Is there not a cause? Man, what a line. Is there not a cause? Yeah, man. Now let's go cause. And then all the thousands of soldiers in armor shivering in their thing, and he goes out there with a sling. And shoo. But when it came to that day when Nathan came to him, his whole life changed. Because you know what? He finally realized that God was watching what he was doing, and he knew what he was. See, you know what is so weird about us is we think we're getting away with it? That's the absolute uniqueness of human spirit. Somehow we think God's not watching. And that behind our closed doors, when no one's watching and the grandmother's asleep, we won't have to go any further, do we? Because you know what you are. And as you get to that place in your stage and your walk with the Lord, that you don't have to impress people with you. I'll never forget, there was this guy named Brad Schumann, and he worked for me when I was a Kmart manager. And those guys were jacking around one Sunday. And I came in, and I told them to build an end cap. You know, an end cap's supposed to look nice, you know. It's on the end. It's supposed to produce sales. You want them nice, straight shelves, you know, equally based. And as you look at it, they're just perfectly shaped. Well, these guys came in, and they had one shelf way longer than the other one, and then a short shelf, and then another shelf, and it just looked like a hodgepodge. I'd never cussed in front of them, and I cussed everything I could cuss in the book. Why can't I get this thing straight? You guys are idiots! And I used some words that I will not use here, but I'm not afraid to use them if I needed to. And Brad Schumann, I'll never forget, went like this. You cussed. I thought you were a preacher. And you know, I looked him dead in the eye, and I said, Brad, you know what? I've been telling you for 6 months that I wasn't any good. That I'm not any better than anyone else. You know what? And you know, deep down inside, I have raging sins just like you. Evil. Well, there's Brad caught me in it. And you know, I looked Brad in the eye and I said, Brad, you know what? That's why Jesus Christ had to go to that cross and die, because I'm not any good. Ended up, about 3 months later, that boy came in and hugged my neck. And he said, you know, that little event, I was at a revival. And I kept hearing that message you gave me that Sunday, that you weren't any good. He said, I trusted the Lord last night. I just want you to know I know what you mean. You know, it's the moment that you get saved, you're pretty spiritual. Because you've chunked all your human experience and you count them but dung, you know, that moment. But then somehow our egos start to think, well, now since we're saved, we can do it. You know what I mean? Now since we're saved, we can be the person God wanted us. And so we try. We start cutting out the things in our lives. And we think we're getting spiritual, but in a sense, what we're doing is just getting more puffed up with our abilities ourselves. And not with what God did for us at the cross. See, that moment you got saved was like when Nathan said, thou art the man. That moment he became spiritual. He realized God knew. And Psalms 51, boy, I tell you what, you read Psalm 51 and you'll hear the quivering in David's voice before God. That it's all about your mercy, God, because I'm guilty of death itself. What was the sacrifice that they had to do for adultery or murder? There was no sacrifice. You all understand? There was no sacrifice. And yet God, to show grace, used David as an example. By the law, he should have been stoned to death. He didn't get stoned. How come? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know, the reason I'm allowed into heaven is God's not imputing my sin. It's not that it's not there. It's there. The reason that I'm able to walk in front of you and try to admit what I am in human form is because I'm not getting there on my own account. I'm getting there because of the blood of Jesus. True spirituality has a uniqueness about it. It has the ability to tell the truth about yourself. Start witnessing to people and say, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Am I any good? And I can tell you out of thousands of times I mention that, say, oh yes, you're good. You're a preacher. I said, let's try that again. There's none good, no, not one. Am I any good? Oh yes. Oh, you're a preacher. Brent, how many times have I heard that? Say, if you were to die tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? You know what the most common answer is? I hope I go to heaven. And you say, okay, why? Say, because I'm good. Because they've had a sense of false religion. They've had a sense of false spirituality. They've been told that what they do to become spiritual is put down the cigarettes and the cussing. Don't cuss. You know, I'm always amazed at people that don't cuss. I mean, they go, hell. And everybody goes, oh, cuss word. And then a lady goes, oh my heavens, that looks great. And they took the place of God's presence in vain. But that's not a cuss word. Or they say, well, I don't cuss. Heck, I don't cuss. You know what the heck's only definition in the is hell. Only one word definition, you can look it up. So they think they're not cussing. See, everybody's got a slide to what they think is spiritual. Why, if you say heck, in some places that would be a cuss word. Some would say, oh, that, heck, that's okay. Then if you say hell, that's a cuss word. Beep, sin. Some people believe that if you look upon a woman to lust after her, that's a sin. Other ones say, well, you actually have to commit the act now. Sliding scale. Preference. But true spirituality is when you walk in what you are because of the grace of God. And you give Him the preeminence. That is the hardest thing to do. And the only person in this Bible that I have ever seen admit what they are over and over and over again is Paul. And you know, it amazes me to what people think are spirituality. People think speaking in tongues is spiritual. Again, that has to do with the what?
Flesh.
Paul realized what he was. Look what he says. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, what? Come on, everybody. For the good that I would? For the evil which I would not? Do you really believe that? I bet in some time in your mind you're thinking, I don't know, I've conquered it a little bit. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. Have you ever found out when you're trying to do what's right, evil is all over it? I mean, you know, listen, when I do something good, I'm looking for that old pat on the back. I had Wayne once tell me, hey, preacher, you're going to break your arm. If I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the laws of God after the inward man, I really want to please God. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. He's being brought into the law of... Hang on! And bringing me into captivity? You're captured? That's hard to admit, isn't it? Oh, wretched man that I am. That's hard to do, isn't it? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's weird, isn't it? Oh, wretched man that I am. Folks, listen, it is amazing grace, and true spirituality is when you can walk in who you are without trying to profess yourself to be good and give all the glory to the Lord. So what has he said? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You know what? He finally came to the grips of his life where, and this was 25 years after he started his ministry. Do you all realize that? He finally got to the point that he realized that it wasn't anything about zero Paul, 100% Jesus Christ. And Paul could say, like in Galatians chapter 2, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth. For the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. He didn't even think that he lived this life based upon his own will, but God's grace. You know, go to Timothy, 1 Timothy. Look at his attitude. Verse 5, 1 Timothy 1, 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of a faith unframed, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Well, what is the law good for? Showing them that they're not any good, right? But these people teach the law too. What do they teach the law? False spirituality. I've kept the law. I had a guy, he was acting self-righteous. We were at a dinner table. Five of us. There were five of us at the table. And I had this one man, he was sitting there crying like a baby because he finally had heard the truth in his life. And his wife says, well, you got to be good after you're saved. I said, all right, let's trust your goodness. You're saved, right? Yeah, and I started reading the law. And when I got to, thou shalt work 6 days, on the seventh day keep the commandment. Keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. She said, I do that. I said, you do not do that. And the husband that was crying looked over and said, you go shopping on Sunday. We went boating one Sunday. You don't keep it any better than I do. But see, religion had blinded the minds of them which believed not. She thought somehow she was keeping the commandments of God, and she was caught up into false spirituality, thinking that she was being approved of God by her good works. And that guy named Tom, boy, he said, that's the first time I've ever heard the truth come out of a man's mouth. I told him, I said, They said, well, preacher, tell us how it is. And I said, I'm not worth the gunpowder to blow me into hell. God would be awfully right in taking me and making it. The guy says, you're not that bad. And I said, I am. Look what he says. Knowing that the law, I'm going to skip down a couple verses. Verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. See, we say that so flippant, you know? Oh, you know, this spiritual thing is, oh man, if I'd have been there, I'd have been the chief of sinners. Paul's not saying it with that kind of attitude. That isn't the attitude he's bringing to the table, guys. He's bringing to the table, he says, I deserve hell. Folks, listen to me. When you finally get to the place in your Christian walk when you don't have to buffalo people who you are, you know, folks, I'm not anything. You know what's amazing? When we finally get to the point, you know, that's why he says we ought not to judge one another anymore. For if we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Why are we so quick to judge our brothers in Christ? When we know that the only thing good about them is they saw themselves lost. The only thing. Some are beautiful, some are ugly, some are fat, some are skinny, some are black, some are white. The only common element that we all have is that somewhere in our lives we came to the place that we saw that there wasn't any good about us. Zero. And that all we needed was what he did at the cross 2,000 years ago. Now that's easy to start out with because I believe anybody that gets saved has true spirituality. The moment they get saved. Do you know what's amazing is that life starts as you start to walk. You start to think, man, I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I give alms of all that I possess. I don't cuss anymore. I only beat my wife once a week. And the danger and the pitfalls of true spirituality is you start to look at you and say, man, have I got it going on. And you know what? You've fallen from true spirituality to nothing but flesh. See, I believe that true spirituality, when you talk about, how many in here has cussed since they've been saved? How many here skipped a Sabbath day? How many here didn't give tithes of all they possess? And yet, even with all those admitting, we're thinking we're still better than that bum. Amen? I'm better than that person. And we could go down a real list and really get to be an embarrassment very quickly. And there'd be some of you that I know wouldn't be honest. Because if you were honest, you would think, these people think bad about me. We go down a checklist. You want to try it once? I don't either. And let me tell you what. It just checklist right down the thing. Eventually we'll find it. Doesn't matter how long you walk with the Lord. Paul said, you know what? I'm chief of sinners. You know, Paul had killed a man, beckoned on Stephen's death, was going out to get more people to kill him. He was a blasphemer. And you know what Jesus said about blasphemy? It will be not forgiven in this life or in that life to come. In Matthew 12. And yet he found grace. Knowing that here is a man that, quote, worshiped God, but in the sense he was what? Just a blasphemer. Boy, it's weird, isn't it? It's almost like the coin is flipped the wrong direction. And I watch these people on TVN and all those things, and they're so full of themselves. Oh, it makes me want to throw up. They sit in these gold chairs as if they're, you know, in their gold chairs. Yes, our ministry is reaching across the world. Pillars. Folks, listen, man. Grace is the most important message that could be taught. It needs to be taught. I had the greatest, one of the great rewards in the ministry. Seeing people get saved and all that. But I had Bobby come to me and he said, Barry, he said, you taught me a lot about raising children. See, I was in the same mode at one time. I thought I was going to turn my children into angels. They're never going to be angels. What I tried to, when I finally learned how to discipline children, I wanted them to admit their guilt. And he gave me the illustration back. You know, it used to be when my kids would spill the milk and break the glass, you know, as they knocked the glass off the thing, they would yell out, what would they yell out? Mom, Dad, the milk spilt. Now, is that true? And that's exactly what religion has taught them to do. Self-protect. And I would come in and say, well, how did the milk spill? It fell over on the ground and it broke and there's broken glass of milk down there. And I'd get my kids to admit, hey, you know, what happened, Dad, is we were goofing around and I hit the glass and it fell and it broke. I said, that's great. Go clean it up. And when we go to the store, you can buy another glass. I didn't have to get mad at them. Are they going to make mistakes? Is me getting mad at their mistakes going to help them? You see, they had to understand they had to admit guilt. and that they had to pay the price, which was a new glass and the cleanup job. You know, that's called the law of restitution. Okay? Whatever they break, they need to cause back. The wages of sin is, that's the restitution. Now, there is an escape out, and that escape is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's it. Nothing else lets you out. Being good doesn't let you out. Walking the line doesn't walk you out. None of that walks you out of that. Blood of Jesus Christ walks you out of it. So, he said, Barry, he said, you know, I've learned to have more grace with my children. You can't let them be disruptive and rude and rebellion. We talked about that the other day, about rebellion. You know, there's passive and active rebellion. But the point I'm trying to admit is, that's kind of where we have to walk in true spirituality, is to be able to admit to God, you know, God, I just screwed up. I'm not talking about confession of sins. I'm talking about being honest. And you have to look at each other and say, you know what? Kareen, I screwed up. I hope you forgive me. I'm human. And the believers ought to be able to go, hey, you know what? What we're doing here is bigger than you or me or any individual. What we're doing is bigger than all that. We've affected people's lives. Emerson, have we affected your life? Sue, have we affected your life? Tamara, how have we affected your life? Differently? Kareen? Mark, that's what it's all about. And we do this in sinful form. Isn't that we're trying to show perfection? We're trying to show honesty. Man, I'm telling you, when you get to that point, you'll be walking in true spirituality. And you know what? The biggest comment I have, you know, people aren't used to honesty. That's, most people are dating, we deceive each other. Amen? In marriage, we deceive each other. Life is built based upon deceptions. It's not really based upon the honesty. And when they hear someone stand in the front and finally give their honest account, it can change their lives. You know, I don't have to buffalo you what I am. You already know what I am. And you're just glad you're not me. If you're me, you'd have to be a filthy, rotten, no good, low down, zero person that could only testify of the grace of God. So I believe in true spirituality. I love that song. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You know, that's true spirituality. You know what false spirituality or flesh would say? Sin had left a crimson stain, but I confess them gone. Do you hear the difference? Folks, listen to me. You are different because of your beliefs. You're not different because you're a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. You're different because of your belief, not because you've conquered sin.